And this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can go where it says I can go. I can be what it says I can be. I can be what it says I can be. I can be what it says I can be. I really can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. Can learn what it says I can learn. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Genesis, the first chapter. In Genesis, the first chapter. And with all the technology and all the advancements, it talks about knowledge will increase. How many thinks the Bible is pretty much on target for the future? Knowledge will increase. We have to just stop and think this, that you know what? Some things never change. And after we watched this video in our class this week, I said, you know what? Here's what gives me hope about this video. Is the principles in the Word of God never change. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then, not only that, but the biblical principles of the Bible never change. We may have to change methods, the way we evangelize, the way we do church. Barna thinks in the next 10, 12, 15 years that churches, there won't be churches like this anymore. There'll be house churches or mega churches. And so it's interesting to see what research says. But in the midst of all that, I just want you to remember, you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And that some of these things right here will never change. Hang on to this in the midst of it all. In Genesis 1 and verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. Did you get that, Paul? He said, over all the cattle. The cattle rancher back there, he's doing his part. Over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 7 of chapter 2 in Genesis says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. In fact, you might be interested. How many knows who Miles Monroe is? Ever heard of Miles Monroe? Great preacher on TV. And Miles Monroe said one time, I heard him, he said, I can just almost assuredly say this, that the first man ever created was black. Have you heard it? And he said, I can prove it because, he said, the Garden of Eden, where they think it was close to, where God, where they believe, created the first man, the dirt in there where God made is really black. And I thought, that makes sense to me. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then, how many knows there's another form they try to give us? It's called evolution. Big Bang Theory. And, you know, I'm simple. I'm Jack. I'm a very simple man. But, you know, to me, it's an easy deduction. Have you ever seen anything in crawling around, you think, it looks kind of like a monkey, but what is it? See, there's no pre-monkey, is there? You ever seen anything pre-monkey that looked pre-monkey? I've never seen anything look pre-monkey. I've never seen anything that looked pre-man. Half man, half monkey. I've never seen anything, you know, that looked post-monkey, pre-man. Have you? Never. I've never seen advanced man or advanced woman. Have you? So that's what we're going to look like in our next phase of evolution. I mean, it's simple deduction, isn't it? And so I just think, you know, the Bible is true and accurate when it says we are made in the image of God. Made in the image of God. And then I love what David said. And I want to read from Psalms 139. This is the Living Bible. You can turn there if you want. But I want this to get in your spirit today. This phrase in Psalms 139 and verse 13. David, that the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. David loved to worship and spent hours and hours in communion with God. Thamla's talking about Big Mama, you know, just knowing some things. You know why they knew some things? Because they were talking to the man that knew. And then I could see, and I could sense in our generation, and you talk about different generation and technology and things going forward and times changing, when you say Big Mama's going to give you a beating or knock your teeth out, in this day and age, that's cringe when people say it because of all the child abuse. Could you feel that? See? But in their day, in their generation, they'd give you a whipping. It's kind of like one of the guys that used to go to church here. He said he asked his granddad one day, said, or dad, he said, how do you know when to quit whipping a child? And he said, when they change their behavior. Amen. For some children, it's a swat and they change their behavior. For the other, you're just getting warmed up. They look at you and say, is that it? I just keep my behavior that I have right now. That's all it is. You know, you've got different children. You have one, they're a compliant child, and you think, man, this child raising stuff, easy. They're made in my image, they look like me, they look, you know, God made them, and it's wonderful. And then you have that other child, and you think, where did they come from? Are they possessed, or what? It's like, you don't fit in here, you know? You're just like your daddy, you know, or mama or something. But David, the guy that was in communion with God all the time, he says, this is the Living Bible. I like the way it put it. So it's the Living Bible. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. To think that God was at work in you and your mother's womb. See, some of you might have been told, well, you're an accident. We never aimed to have you. Well, God knew he was there. He wasn't surprised. And I doubt your parents are really that surprised. They know what causes babies. Selah. He says, thanking you for making me so wonderfully complex. It's amazing to think about. And then this is David talking about God working on him. And you think, well, he's kind of conceited, isn't he? No, he just knows it's God. Your workmanship is marvelous. When you made me, your workmanship was marvelous. That's what we all ought to think. Because you're unique in your own right. See, he didn't make me tall. He didn't make me skinny. And he didn't make me dark and handsome. I thought and how well I know it. How well, it's marvelous and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You were there. God was there when you were being formed. You saw me before I was born, and listen to this next, and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Schedule. Listen, the most fulfilled people on the planet is people that are running on God's schedule. You know, there's two ladies singing on our platform this morning, and I think that's part of their schedule, don't you? When you hear their voice. How about Cliff on the bongos? You think that's in God's schedule? Yeah. That's cool. How about, you know, the musicians and the praisers this morning? You're on God's schedule because you lead us into the presence of God. And it's the same with you in whatever area that God has called you. He's put you on schedule and planned out all your days. And so you need to get on schedule. You need to say, and if you don't know what God has created you to do and what your schedule is, just ask Him until He lets you know what it is. He will. He'll talk to His people. It's just we don't reflect and ask enough. We don't do that. And I believe that we're just like David. He said, man, this is awesome. My life is scheduled out. This is the guy that, remember, he was in the sheep pen honing his skills. Remember? He was there, and who knew he could get to the palace? God knew, and David knew. Listen, if you don't hone your skills, we're all equally made in the image of God, but if you don't hone what God's given you, you'll never rise to your potential. See, for some of you young people, that's really important today that you say, you know, what is it that God has given you to do? What skills has He given you? What gifts has He instilled in you? And even though you're just as, at the cross, the ground is level. It's all level. You know, our society teaches today that there are some people on this planet that their market value is like $1 million bonus or $50 million a year. In fact, our society teaches us today that there are athletes that their market value is worth millions of dollars.
See?
But that's their market value because of what our society has created. It's not their value to who they are in Christ and who they are in God. And David's hit on this. He says, you know, God scheduled out, and he says, every day was recorded in your book. Every day. So God just opens the book, and he looks and see if we're on the page that we're supposed to be on or not. And so we just need to ask God, God, what page am I on today, and where I'm at, and what am I supposed to be doing today? See? You're all equally made in the image of God, but God has a page for you. Get on that page. And be fulfilled and fruitful in your life. He says, every day is recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you're thinking about me constantly. I even count how many times a day. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn toward me. And when I awaken in the morning, you're still thinking of me. Is that the way you look at God? I woke up this morning, he was looking at me and thinking about me. Is that the way you think? Or you think, oh, I woke up this morning and God was thinking about this guy or this person because they're so special. They got so many talents and so much ability. I used to think, you know, why did God give me an okay voice where I could sing a little bit in the church and not give me a voice where I could go out and really do something with it? And I thought, there's people that I'm supposed to reach. How many knows Tim McGraw's not coming to our church today? So, I'm the filler. For all you that like a little country. Yeah. And our sound man do an extraordinary job of making me sound the best they can. I heard one of my friends, he was talking about, he was introducing his band one night, and he said, you know, he said, he introduced the band. He said, this is our band. Said, so they come tonight, and he was a Southern gospel singer, and he said, they've come tonight, and I just want to tell you, these are very special men, because he said, we told them when they came, your job is to make us sound good. He said, hundreds walked away shaking their head, four dared to stay. That's the way I feel sometimes. But you know what? This is my part. This is my place. I'm on my page. And some of you visiting today say, man, is that your page? It's all your page. That's all it is right here. This is, you know, some dare to stay. They're here. But it's the same way with you. There's something that God put in you that you're not equal in the sense of when it comes to your gift mix and your talents. You're not equal. You're way up here. And people look at you in your gift mix and they think, wow, I could not have that. One of the pastors in one of our largest churches in the city, we was teaching us this week in our master's class, and he said, here's a word for you pastors. He said, love where you are. Love where you are. Isn't that a good word? Love where you are. You know? Love where you are. Whoever you're ministering to, whatever you're doing in life, whatever your plot is, whatever you're developing, love where you are. Now there will be transitional times in your life, and you'll go from where you are to a different place. Used to, I was a masonry contractor in Oklahoma City, but I can remember where my heart was in the church. It was no longer in business and out doing that every day. And so it began to transform, and I came into ministry and the pastoring and all, and that changed. And it'll probably change again someday, you know. I won't just fight the current forever. But I want to be on God's page. I want to be on God's page, swimming where He wants me to swim. Here's some of the things that affect why you feel like sometimes, and I feel like sometimes, we're not equally made. One of the things I thought about was our environment. You know, like this culture that you're talking about, that environment and that culture doesn't exist anymore as a whole. That's why the kids are changing. That's why parents think they can't control their kids anymore. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. And that's what the big mamas used to do in their generation. They put the fear of God in you. Here's big mama's generation. I told you. Here's today's generation. How many knows a growling dog will bite you?
And I'm not playing. That's what he's saying. When, you know, and that's the difference.
They put the fear of God. And I don't, my family, you know, we get a whipping one out, but they never, that was abusive. That was correction. And then when it came time to love you, they loved you. And so your environment, maybe, but if you grew up in a nurturing environment, you trust more probably. You're more of a nurturer, and you know, and you take on those characteristics. But it doesn't mean you weren't made equally in the sight of God. It just means you had some struggles that nobody else had if you grew up in a hostile environment. See, I'm beginning to learn this as a pastor, you know. It took me a long time, but some of you that grew up in a hostile environment, and I used to think you just had excuses, but you have things that is attached to you that you have to transform and change and have to be radically changed that I never had to deal with. And so my grace level is going up for generations that's been abused. One of the pastors, Mark Crow, was one that was teaching, doing part of our training this week, and in his church service Wednesday night, we had, that was part of our class to attend his church. He said, if you got your cell phones, don't turn them off. Just if they ring, tell them you're in a meeting. I thought, I never heard that. That's a different grace level. Somebody said, can we take these drinks have a drink in this room we're in? He said, you can take drinks anywhere in our church. Wherever you are. He said, the carpet will come clean or we'll get new later. Now, you know what that did for me? That said, I'm more important than carpet. That challenged my grace level. He said, we have enough homosexuals in our church to start a church. That challenged my grace level. He said, and we love them right where they are. Because they're made in the image of God. Well, over a year ago, remember I told you I repented really before you and said I don't love sinners like I need to love sinners, and I want to be a friend of sinners. That's what I want to be known in the kingdom of God, as a friend of sinners. And so if you see me hanging around somebody, or you see me somewhere, you think, well, should I be there? I'm probably just loving on the sinner. I'm not changing my morals, my standards. I'm just trying to love on sinners where they are. But the environment has can have a great impact on how you find your page. Because if you've been beat down all your life, it may be hard for you to find your page. But I'm here to tell you today, God created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. He was in your mother's womb, making the adjustments before you came out and putting you together. And you may look something like your daddy and something like your mother or something like Uncle Fred or whoever that may be. But God had a hand in it, and you are not a mistake, and you're not junk. You are a product of the living God. Now, environment may have adjusted you, but you know what? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so that's what's been applied to you that have called on the name of the Lord. I thought about the climatic environment you're in. You know, you've got the polar system and we have the Eskimos. They look like Eskimos, don't they? If I say Eskimo, you think of a little kind of olive guy with round cheeks and a fur coat. And I mean, they look like an Eskimo. It's because they're a product of their climate as far as their physical look. And so that may, and then you go down into the desert lands and you have a whole different picture, don't you? Because they've adjusted to the climate over a period of time. Our bodies are amazing to me how we can adapt to. I went to work when I started this church for about 6 months out of a little box factory. And I never knew this about cardboard, corrugated paper, they said is what we need to call it. But it was sheets of paper and you'd throw it down, and if you weren't real careful to take your hand off of it just a certain way, that cardboard would cut you like a razor. I worked there and before I left there in the 6 months, I noticed when I brushed my hair, feel my hair, it felt different. In 6 month period. And I thought, what is that? And I thought, oh, and I realized my hands, they had toughened up. In just a few months to the pain, they had made the adjustment The physical adjustment that my hand made, my brain didn't tell it to do it. My brain just said, "Ow!" And my hand said, "I got it. I received that message." And my skin just became tougher. So that's what happens in environments. And that's why it's important to stay, listen, in the right environment. Because if you stay in the right environment, your body is going to adapt and produce good things. If you stay in a hostile or a tough environment, it's going to get calloused and harder to adjust for the environment that you're in. Now, when we're little, we can't help that. I mean, it's just where you are is where you are. Some of you, you know, I've heard your story, and it's just heartbreaking where you came from and how you were shuffled around and things. I didn't grow up in that environment. Last night we were coming home from visiting some family with Jake, our son, and he's in for just a short while, and so we've been spending all the time we can with him. But we were talking. I said, you know, one of the things I am really grateful for is my parents were never divorced. And Jake and Summer's parents were never divorced, and they never had to go through that. Which is, sometimes it's a rare thing, even in the church. So, and I'm not saying that's you know, we're not, it doesn't make us whole. It just means that our children didn't have to endure an environment that somebody else's children had to endure, or you may have had to endure from coming from a divorced home. And all I'm saying is, it doesn't affect your value and equality. It affects finding your page, okay? It affects where you are. And I want you to distinguish that today in your mind. I went through some things, but that doesn't have anything to do with my value. You know, we could look at the Bible and say, well, we're just adopted. We're Gentiles. He really is in love with the Jew. Well, I would rather say this. You know what? If you belong to somebody, when they had you, they're stuck with you. They chose me. See? So if you're adopted, Jesus chose you. You're called. And I thought, so there's all kinds of ways to look at it. Mark Crow, he pastors a church that runs 6,000 or 7,000. I could look at that and say, man, I got about 100 people here. What? God loves him more than me. But I turn it around and I say, God loves me more than Mark, because he only gave me about 100 headaches. He gave him 6,000 headaches. You say, did you just call me a headache? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And a blessing. You're a headache and a... That's what children are, aren't they? Your children are a headache and a blessing. The old statement, I wouldn't take $1 million for this or give a nickel for another one. You know, that kind of thing. And then Mark Crow could look at people like Bill Hybel. He could say, well, you know, God loves Bill Hybel more than me because I only have 6,000 or 7,000 in my weekend attendance. Bill has between 20,000 and 30,000. So what's he going to do with that? And then Bill Hybel, Rick Warren that run 20,000 and 30,000, they could look at Young Hee Cho and say, you know what, he has 800,000 and something every Sunday in his services. Man, God really loves him. I want you to pray for me. I think for my thesis and my master, I'm gonna write The Average Church. My dean told me, he said, you just need to write a book. Make that your thesis and your final project and your master's is. And I said, and he don't like the title, The Average Church. So pray for that. But I see people that are in an average place in life and they think they're not, you know, blessed. Well, you know, the 1% will run like 5,000, 20,000, whatever, 1%. And in whatever field you're in, there's going to be 1% that'll just blow everybody else away. That's just the way it is. God give them more talents than you. But it doesn't love them any more than you. In the story of the talents, there was one that had 5 and one that had 2 and one that had 1. And I think this, I believe this with all of my heart, that if the guy that had 5 went out and produced 5 more because you're accountable for the talents God has given you. If he had produced his 5, which he did, and he said, come in, well done, good and faithful servant, and he took him into the kingdom of God and said, here's your blessings and the joy of the Lord, and just showered him with blessings. And I believe this. I believe the guy that had 1 talent, if he would have used his, he would have been just as blessed. But here's the thing. When you don't use your talents, God has put something in you, but if you don't use those, you look at God differently. This guy said, I knew you as a hard man. One of the people that were using their talents, even the one with two, said, we knew you as a man that would bless us if we just used what you gave us. Don't you love to bless your kids with more when they use what you already gave them? How many's ever set your kids down to the meal and said, I'm not hungry. I got some cake. I want some cake. How about you wasn't hungry? Well, I'm not hungry for that. And they don't want the healthy part. So sometimes when we use what we have, how many knows if you're going to preach, if you're going to sing, if you're going to, whatever you're doing here at the Prayer of Faith, you're going to greet? How many knows if you're a greeter and you're here every Sunday, there's going to be some Sundays you just really don't want to greet people. I don't care if you're Philip Bellflower. I'm sure we could set Lori down, and he's the greeter of all greeters. He knows what he is, and so we just pick on him. But we could set Lori down and say, Lori, was there ever a time when Philip wasn't so pleasant? Could you tell us about that? She'd say, you got an hour? Could you do that for us, Lori? No comment, right? Smart woman. Yeah. One thing I have noticed, everywhere I've been traveling, and I hadn't traveled a lot, but we've been to a few different countries. We went to Germany and visited my son and them when they were there, and went to Paris a day and spent there, and we've been to different third world countries and places and missions and stuff. And it's one thing I've noticed is that although the income and economy are different, there's a world system in each of these countries that are the same. There's lack, and there's abundance of wealth, and there's all kinds of people in between. And there's the bad people that you have to watch out for. There's the muggers and the, you know, sometimes when we go to, like, we're going to Guatemala, and we hear stories about, oh, you have to watch out what they call the gorillas, you know, they're hiding, and then you jump out with their guns and all. And I thought, you know what? If I don't care where you're from in the world, if you come here, there's places you better watch out too. In fact, how many knows there's just places at night you just better not go? It's just, that's just wherever you go, because we're under a world system here. We're under a world system. They all have their own set of blessings, and they have their own unique problems. Back one time when we were in, we were leaving Paris, and we was waiting for our train. Here's the difference. I'll tell you, some things in America, we may not have the highest standard, and we may not have the lowest, but here's something I noticed when you're in Paris and Germany. Here's what I noticed. Some of the places we went to, a lot of the places actually, they charge you to use their toilet. And you think, you know, you go in just about any store here and you can use the restroom and they don't think anything about it, but not in every country. Jan and I were at the bus station, the train station, waiting our train. We'd been in Paris all day and headed back to Landstuhl, Germany, and we were waiting. And this young man came up and he had some coins and he slaps it down on the table. And I couldn't understand him, but I could understand his body language. They slapped the coins down on and the guy counted them and said, nope. And he was looking over to the left where the restrooms were, and he scraped the coins off and started to take off. And I said, Janet, do you think I ought to give him some change? I said, this guy needs to go. And before I could, he was out of sight around the corner, and I thought, bless his heart. And it just maybe 30 seconds, a minute, he come running back around there, slapped the chains back on the counter down, said, okay, and made him shoot off to the bathroom. I just broke in. I'm proud to be American. Well, at least I party free, you know. We have, all I'm saying is, when you go around, you can tell we're under the same system. We're under the same system everywhere. There's sin. And that's what makes it difficult sometimes for us to press on and see our value and see our worth. But I'm telling you, anywhere you go in the world, you're going to have problems and blessings. And then it comes to the point where you have to look and say, how you look at your problems, you look at your problems as an opportunity. Say, for instance, if you're in a relationship with your spouse and things aren't going like you wish they would, do you look at that as a problem or you look at the opportunity? Opportunity for you to grow in Christ makes a huge difference on what your outcome is going to be. Huge
message outcome.
Same equality, same level, same situation, but whatever you think in your mind, I'm telling you, it's going to affect you and your outcome. You can write that down. My daddy used to, you can put that in your day book. And what he meant was that's a principle that's going to work. Because it really doesn't matter. We're in an economy right now they say it's terrible. But I just keep focused on God's economy. And it hadn't affected us in dramatic ways. Now, if the gas is higher, I have to pay more, just like you. But I just tell God, I need to raise gas. It's going up. See? The thing that's not equal is how you and I think about what God is to us and who we are. That's what's not equal. You have to decide that, and you have to bring the bar up. I can't bring the bar up for you, and you can't bring the bar up for me. How many saw the special on the Diane Sawyer did on the mountain children? And their teeth are falling out, and in fact, Pepsi's going up to help them because they said, for all you that drink Mountain Dew, my son-in-law likes Mountain Dew. And so for all you that like Mountain Dew, they said that there's twice as much sugar in a Mountain Dew as a regular soda. And they love Mountain Dew up in the mountains. Well, talk about environment and association. Well, you drink in the mountains. We drink Mountain Dew. Down here in the city, we drink Mountain Don't, you know. Twice as much sugar, and it's killing their teeth, and so this dentist, here's a guy that says, you know, he's created equal, he's been given gifts and opportunities, and he bought out of his own pocket a dental clinic on wheels, rolls it up in the mountains, and does dental work free for all these children and adults. And they called Pepsi and said, what about Mountain Dew? And they said, well, I'll tell you what, we're not stopped to sell Mountain Dew, but we're going to furnish you with one more truck. So a man of God says, in this economy where it's supposed to be bad, I'm going to do what I can. And he's blessed with another truck and another crew in the same economy. You know why? Because he's on God's page. God said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he's doing. Listen, if you want to bring your economy up, if you want to bring your worth and value up, start loving your neighbor as yourself. Get your mind off of what I don't have and say, what can I help and what can I change? What can I do that will benefit others? And how can I minister to God this week? Because he said, when you've done it to one, you put one tooth in one child, you fill one cavity, you have filled my teeth, baby. He's not any more important than you, but he's on a different plane than some of us are. Because he said, I found my page, and I'm just walking. I'm walking for Jesus. Found my page. I told you we're going to Guatemala, Kenny and I in May, I think it's May. And I got a call this weekend. And when I first asked them, I said, what can we do for the pastors? They said, well, why don't you just bless us and take us down to the beach and feed us and all. I said, okay. How much would that cost? They said, oh, maybe $1,000, $1,500. And I thought, it sounds real low to me. So I thought, here's my plan. I'm going to get three pastors, about $1,000 each is what they pay for their own way, and they pay for their $1,000 a piece, and then that'll be about $3,000. That sounds closer to me. They called this weekend, and this $1,000 trip we're supposed to take, he said, it's going to be $58 a person. There's about 50 of them coming, and so we want you to pay for that, and then it'll be more for the next day for the ones of us, the leaders, that's going to stay that night when everybody else goes home. So now that $1,000 trip is like $3,500. But here's the thing, I thought, God already told me, get three people. Well, I'd kind of dismissed the third person because that's two or three that I thought. This morning when we were praying, Jan said, and Lord, maybe that third person may be out there. And it's like, that's what I told you. In the beginning, when they said 1,000, and I didn't have a clue what it would cost, but the Holy Spirit knew. And so, here's what happens sometimes when we're feeling like it's overwhelming, and it's because we just don't listen to the Holy Spirit. He's speaking, he just, you know, whatever the need, boom, there it is. Whatever the need, there it is. If it's your job, it's about your relationships, it's about your health, whatever it is you're asking and trying to increase and get better at,
Just pray, and there it is.
And so I want you to help me pray for the third person. We'll call it the Trinity. The Trinity is going to Guatemala. And we're just going to love on pastors, and we're going to put them up in a resort. We're going to feed them and do some teaching, some leadership training, just to encourage them. We're not going to... anybody that speaks, they have to be an encouraging word for them. Because they're workers. I mean, they know how to work, and they're hard at it all the time. So this is just an encouraging trip. I've run out of time. Ephesians 2, you can read that on your own, but Ephesians 2 talks about the prince and the power of the air. That's Satan. That's the system we're all under. But before he winds that passage up, he says, you're saved by grace, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And so all he's saying is, you know, I don't care if you're Randy Roach and you know, they call you the old hippie. Do you know that's what we called you around here? An old hippie. Or you're the little fat country preacher. That's what they call me, among other things. Or if you're the black bongo guy. We'll just give you a new name. How's that? That was awesome, by the way. That was awesome. Why don't you pray for my friend? Because I can tell you don't feel real well today, but you're here, aren't you? You're on your page, aren't you? I love that about you. Yeah. And so God knows that too, that you don't feel good and you're up there playing your bongos for Him. So honor it, Lord, and bless Him. See, it doesn't matter to God. It just play on your page. You've got something to offer. You know, I'll never sing like these two young ladies. Nobody will ever say, that was just lovely when I get through singing. They'll say, yee-haw. I just think, ladies, that I strike a different chord than you. See? And so you strike a different chord in some area that you serve in. Just don't forget to strike the chord that you touch. That's the main thing. Love life where you are. But that's what it said. And then it goes on to say, you're fearfully and wonderfully, you're God's workmanship created in His image for His good pleasure. God loves it when you're operating on your page. Yeah, He don't love them more than you. He just loves you right where you are when you're operating on your page. Let me finish with a story. This is the life cycle is backwards. And we should reverse the life cycle. Here's what one guy wrote about. This is how he thinks it should be. He said, I think we should die first and get that out of the way. We should live 20 years in the old age home until you get too young and they have to kick you out. Then you get a gold watch and you go to work for 40 years until you're young enough to enjoy retirement. Then you go to college and you party until you're ready for high school. That's where I'm at right now, partying in college. Then you go to grade school until you become a little kid and you play and you have no responsibilities. Then you become a little baby. You go into a mother's womb, spend the last 9 months of your life floating, and wind up a gleam in somebody's eye. That sounds like a pretty good process to me. How about you? I hope you got it today. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And although our environment's different, our culture's different, our you know, values that we grew up with are different, there's no difference when it comes to your value and who you are in Christ. You're unique. And I hope you love and enjoy where you are. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to love and enjoy where you are. And quit saying, I would, but. Just refuse to but where you are. And say, you know what? I'm going to love where I am. Young lady said, I couldn't wait. I was dying to get to college. I was dying to get out of college so I could go to work. And after I went to work, I was dying to have kids. And once I had kids, I was dying for them to get old enough so I could go back to work. And when I went back to work, I got tired and I was dying to retire. And then after I retired, I was just dying.
You don't want that to be you. Enjoy where you are. Enjoy where you are. Yesterday we went down and saw my dad and mom and with my son, and we went out to my son-in-law and my son out to the motorcycle show. Just a day of family. Man, it was awesome. And today I'm with my church family, and it's awesome. Love where you are. They don't get any better than this. Dan and I said one day, our skin's getting old. I said, yeah, but this is the best it will ever look from here out. Some of you losing hair, this is the most you'll have. So enjoy every hair. It's up to you. But don't ever equate that with God's value on you. That's what you do. It's where you put yourself. Let's pray. Father, thank you for fearfully and wonderfully making us in your image. Every person on the planet, that's what we should look at them and think. There's one of your unique creatures, one of your kids that you created in your image. Regardless of where they are and what struggles they're having and what sin has attached itself to them, and we should just say, that's one of God's kids. That's my brother and sister. They belong to my Father. And it should break our hearts to know that some will be lost. And it should encourage us to love them like never before. Because that's the way you do us. You love us unconditionally with all your heart. You chose us, even sent your Son to die for us. That should tell us how much you value us. And so today, Lord, if there's those that are here and they've been depressed or down on themselves or have low self-esteem, today I pray that you would just love on them and elevate them to their place, to the rightful place as one of your children that you love and adore. And then I pray, Father, that you'll help them to get on the page, the schedule that's already written in eternity. That you'll help them to get on today's page to find that speak, Holy Spirit, so they can find the joy and the peace and the love and the blessings of loving today, loving every day where they are and what you've given them and what they've been called to do. Let every mother think this is the greatest calling that ever existed, to be a mother. Let every dad think this is the greatest calling that every person you've called to be single, tell them this is the best way to live life. Every person right where they are, let them know today they can be loved and they can enjoy who they are in Christ. Encourage them, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. While Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Christ, maybe you've been walking in sin and walking away from God, I want you to pray this with me before you leave and make it right and start your new journey today with the Lord. Just pray this with me. You can pray it silently to the Lord, or you can pray it out loud, but just say this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I've been walking in sin, and today I repent. I truly repent from my heart. Forgive me and save me and make me whole. I'm yours, Lord. I give my life to you. I belong to you. I serve you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Area to meet with village leaders and to learn of their plight.
So there are three needs. So the first one is the water. So then the food. What else?
And school.
Yes.
So the three. firstly water, secondly food, and thirdly schooling facilities for the children. So those are really areas that we are strong as an organization and that we focus on, so that would be our focus.
The water conditions are so severe in this area that people have to collect water from any polluted source they can find, including those used by the animals.
This is a scene that we're so used to seeing all over Southern Africa, where cattle and people share water, disease-filled muddy water that they have to share. These cattle go to the toilet in the water, and that causes cholera, which robs the lives of children and adults in these areas. Literally comes in and dehydrates the people and causes many fatalities. Close to here, just 2 weeks ago, more than 32 people died in one village because of cholera. I'm appealing to you. This area is in desperate need of water. We have to drill more wells here. We have to reach more people, or people will continue to die from cholera and other waterborne diseases. Mission Water for Life is truly bringing life in these areas, and you can be a part of that if you will just partner with us and make a gift of life, life in the form of water.
Our goal is to partner with Life Outreach International in 4 weeks. It'll be March 15th. We're going to take up an offering, and our goal is to sponsor a well, which is $4,500, I believe. $4,800. And as I said last week, I want each of us just to pray about what our part is and partner with our husbands and wives, our families about that. Let's stand as we dismiss in prayer. And as we dismiss in prayer, one